I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. If members of the band Hal and the Big Five passed each other on the street, they might not recognize each other. That's because they're based all over the globe and never met in one place to make music together. Instead, the musicians recorded in their own homes, on their own time, and exchange music files back and forth on the internet. The result is a CD called Umoja. Now, the CD is just a first step. Band members are hoping at some point to put their music online and let anybody remix it. We're going to have more on that in a few minutes. First, Duncan Lomax is a guitarist for Hal and the Big Five. From his home in York, England, he helped bring the group's various musical elements together.
First thing to happen was the drum beats. So Pascal in Belgium sat and programmed a load of drum beats, and once the rhythms were put together, then he would send stuff down to the singers in Soweto. They would be recording their stuff in South Africa. It would be coming back to Pascal, out to a friend of ours in Berlin who recorded the bass lines, then into me in the United Kingdom, where I'd record the guitars and the keyboards. But yeah, it was a true... Oh, and Bill Laswell doing the final mixes in New York. So it's a true world music album in every sense. The vocals are sung in Zulu, which I'm not fluent in, unfortunately.
Not fluent in?
No.
That's asking a little much, if you can do one or two
yes.
accurate words. Okay, so let's listen right now to this, to what's happening. This is the group that was an a cappella group. One of your band members heard them, thought they're great, so let's make them a cappella no longer and put some music behind them. The singers who were down in Soweto, were they listening to your tracks as they recorded?
They listened to a guide track. We put down a very, very simple drum beat and just one guitar, just something that they could tune to, keep in time to, so that because we were editing the tracks on computer equipment, we needed everything to be in perfect time. Duncan, who's this? Do you know? I don't know. Never having met them, and the way I was recording the songs at home, I just had a chart on the wall which told me whose voice was the low one for a particular song, whose voice was the medium one, whose voice was the highest one. So it's really difficult to know which one's which.
This is just like working in radio.
It is. It's strange, isn't it? It's, you know, to come out with a finished product, but... never having met them, it is quite strange.
And you still haven't met them now?
No. In fact, I've not even spoken to the singers.
Aren't you kind of curious? Or do you think that'll...
I'd love to meet them, yeah. I'd love us to get together, you know, just to sit down over a beer and just be glad that it's all finished, I suppose.
I understand that it was frustrating to deal with partners, musicians, who were in far-flung parts of the globe. I wonder musically if there is a downside, though. Did it feel like you were separate from them? You're recording at different times. You're mixing at different times. Could you have that intimacy that you'd want if you were all together in a studio at the same time?
No, it's, you know, that's definitely missing. We knew that from the start. So there was never any attempt to get together as a band in a room, because that's very much the traditional way of doing it. So we knew we were doing something different from the start and we'd face those challenges. But actually, it was that that intrigued us about it. It's almost like a game of Chinese whispers that I would do something with the music and pass the project on to Pascal. And then he would do something more and then he'd pass it on. And by the time it came back to me again, it might sound completely different. You'd get a CD or a file over the internet thinking, is it still the same sort of song? And you'd open it up and it had grown, you know, into a different thing each time you heard it.
As long as it grew the right way.
Yes, yeah.
And it did?
Yeah, it did. What we found is that there isn't actually a right way for it. And one of the things we're interested in, really, is not this to be a definitive CD, but if there are people that want to remix it and reuse it and carry on that process of passing it on and changing it, then we're very open to that.
That's so interesting. I mean, I know that there's a lot of dissemination of music like that. Do you feel like you're letting your baby go if, you know, you invite other people to mix and remix what you've done?
Yes, we are. But I think because we've not been in the room as a band, we don't function as a band, we don't tour as a band, we don't play live, then I don't suppose we're that precious about it. It has a different life of its own, so it can go off in different directions. And it's not one individual's baby. So, you know, three of the people involved might love what somebody does to it, and might hate what somebody else does to it. But it might be the other way around for the other people involved. So I think what we've come to is that there's no right or wrong. There's no finished product. And that's very intriguing to us.
What was the technology that was most helpful as you compiled the album?
Well, I suppose the internet. We couldn't possibly have done this without the internet. There's individual bits of technology, individual bits of recording technology. Pascal took an Apple Mac notebook out to Soweto for them to record bits of vocals onto. It wouldn't have started without that. And individual software packages that we've used to write the music and send the stuff around. But ultimately, I suppose it's the good old internet that's allowed it to grow.
Thank you very much. Duncan Lomax, also known as Savage, who's with the band Hal and the Big Five. Their album is called Umoya. Thanks, Duncan.
Thank you.